D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Predators versus Capitals tonight at 6, the final game before the NHL's Olympic break. And as I said before our break, how blessed are we that Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman is pulling double duty for us this week. He joined us on Monday. He joins us now. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
There's no way you wanted to talk to me twice in a week. My wife doesn't even like to talk to me twice in a day.
Well, if we didn't want to, we wouldn't have had you on. So clearly, we do indeed want to talk to you. So, Elliot, I heard you talking about this on the 32 Thoughts, the podcast. There were some rumblings about a potential conflict of interest with the Predators moving forward with CAA to assist in their search for a new GM. The team told the Tennessean that it is in compliance with the league's regulations. So
That's true. I saw that.
Okay. So what do we make of this situation? For those who aren't familiar with what we're talking about, what were those rumblings about?
So here's the situation. Hockey is unlike the other sports. And I've done even more work on this over the last couple of days. So, you know, Derek, NFL, you know that there are agencies, they represent players and they represent coaches and they represent executives. Mm-hmm. That is also the case in Major League Baseball, and it is also the case in the NBA. The NHL, so years ago, there was a gentleman who was in charge of the NHL Players Association named Bob Goodenow, and he hated that. Absolutely hated it. He thought it was a conflict of interest. He felt that the people who represent players should not be allowed to represent coaches and executives. And if you heard the pod, as you did, Adam, you heard Kyle Bukauskas, my co-host, ask me why that is. And one of the things they talked about was, would the agent ever put pressure on the coach saying, hey, you've got to play our guy more and you've got to play our guy less, and or that other guy from a different agency less. You have to help out our guys. Well, after I dropped that pod, Adam, I got another call from another agent who said to me, too, that while that was true, there was another reason. And that was that the Players Association had concerns that if a player represented all of these players and represented a general manager, would they ever do a favor to the GM and say, you can give this guy a little bit more and this guy a little bit less, and it was all one big tight circle. Whatever the case was, the Players Association has something in their guidelines that says this is not allowed, sort of. There's a bit of a gray area. So a couple years ago, Kyle Dubas was hired as the president of hockey operations for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Kyle was represented by a lawyer from Wasserman, which is another big firm. And Wasserman represents players as well. Like Roman Josi is one of Wasserman's big clients. But the agent who represented Kyle Dubas did not represent players. And they said, sorry, that's still not good enough. And they said, we don't want that. Now, the other thing here, too, is that what CAA, I think, has argued is that if they don't hire one of their clients, it shouldn't matter. But the league, as Bill Haslam has said, they don't care. It's the Players Association that cares. And a couple weeks ago, they had a big Players Association agents meeting where this kind of scenario was brought up, and they reminded the agents that this is important to them and it will be enforced. So I don't know how this is going to turn out, but as a couple of, like, personally to me, I don't care. Like, you know, I think Bill Haslam is an adult. He can make the decision as he sees fit, but a bunch of agents have said, look, you guys said this is important to you. Do you have teeth or not? So we'll see where it goes.
As we start looking through the potential candidates, Elliot, to become the Predators' next GM, we have seen in recent years the agent-to-executive pipeline work out for a lot of teams. Bill Zito in Florida, Kent Hughes in Montreal, Jeff Jackson in Edmonton. I'm wondering if there are any agents who are next in line to go from being an agent to being a GM. You mentioned Roman Josi. I personally am wondering about Judd Moldaver. He's based in Nashville. He represents mm-hmm. Roman Josi. I've been wondering myself if he could be on that list. Are there any agents out there who you think are the next to follow the Bill Zito, Kent Hughes, Jeff Jackson track?
I think there will be. I think there are agents who will be eligible. Or not necessarily eligible. That's the wrong word, Adam. I think interested. Actually, it's kind of funny, considering the question you just asked me and the whole conversation we just had. But Pat Brisson, who runs CAA Hockey, he has been approached by teams before to be a manager for them. I don't think that's likely, but, you know, he would be. He's a guy, if he ever had been interested, he could have done it. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, Adam, I've asked a couple of agents about it, and they are very skittish about this kind of thing. And the reason is that they're worried if their names get out that other agents are going to start poaching their clients. So I've had a few people deny it to me, and we'll see where we go. You know, as for Judd, it's pretty funny. He lives in Nashville, and I think that there's two reasons I think his name has jumped to the forefront. Number one, because he represents your captain and one of your franchise players. So I think there's an obvious connection there, Josi. But I think also when the news started to get out that maybe there was a change here, I think he was seen chatting or meeting during a game with, I don't know if it was Bill Haslam, I don't know if it was Sean Henry, who it was, but they were seen together and people started to put two and two together, or at least think they were putting two and two together. So I don't know if Judd sees that as what he wants to do. I haven't spoken to him about it yet, but the reason I think his name is circulating, Adam, is because of that. So I don't know if it's just sort of a fluke that it happened or that he would be interested. I mean, he's got big clients coming up to unrestricted free agency, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews. I don't know if this would be the right time for him.
Now, Elliot, the Preds have been playing some exciting hockey of late. They've won some, they've taken some into overtime and still managed to get the points. They're on the streak here.
But it's fun to watch, Derek.
Exactly. But the fan base is still a little, a little shy about what's going on or apprehensive, mm-hmm. let's say that. And they're also apprehensive a little bit about UC Soros. And I'm looking at UC and I'm disregarding the numbers per se, because we can talk about the numbers all day. But dating back to 2021, UC has played the most minutes of any goalie. He's been either at the top, number one, or he's been in the top five from 2021 until now. And I look at him like a running back. It's almost like you wear him out and then it's like, okay, you put him to the side. And the best way to do running backs nowadays, as they do in the NFL, is this dual thing. Do you think he's worn down a little bit because of the minutes that he's played?
I think, Derek, it's very possible. And I think that what happens is, too, is that if the Predators hadn't got back into the race, he probably wouldn't be playing as much as he is. And you could rest him a bit more. But he was one of the major reasons you got back into the race, right? So, I understand it. It's really hard for Andrew Burnett, who's coaching for his life here, especially now that he knows there's a new hockey operations leader coming in. You're all of a sudden within striking range. You think Andrew Burnett's like, no offense to a Noonan, but who does he want to play? He wants to play him. And the other thing too, Derek, this year is the schedule is so compressed because of this Olympic break. People have no time to rest and recover. I think that's just a huge part of what has happened with all the injuries in this league. And, Derek, you're an elite level athlete. Like, rest and recovery is as important as anything. And we're not, and none of these guys are getting any of it. So, you know, I've watched him the last couple of days. It's been kind of wild, but I absolutely do think, and also he's not the biggest guy in the world. Like, he's, for a goalie in this day and age, he's tiny, which is, you know, even more impressive what he does. But I absolutely think the minutes, particularly this year, are a big factor in it, 100%.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, before, I want to ask you about the Panarin trade for sure. I want to ask one more about the CAA process. If there are more people, I guess the way I hear you saying it, it's like a behind the scenes, people are asking questions. What would be the procedure if somebody actually wants to address and maybe have the Predators do it a different way? Because I'm wondering, are they going to alter their plan, or who would be able to stop them from doing that?
Well, I think the thing is, like, obviously from what, and I saw the article in the Tennessean and what Bill Haslam said, so it's not going to be him that changes his mind. I can tell you that.
Right.
And again, like, it's really interesting to me, Willie, because this is the only league that cares about this. The other leagues don't. So one of two things is going to happen. Either the Players Association is going to say, okay, we're not bothered by this. And I find that hard to believe, considering they just had a meeting about it where that was discussed 3 weeks ago. You know, what they could do in theory is they could say to the CAA agents, you have to decertify. And like, that's, it seems a lot for me, but that's like the farthest case scenario that they could take it. They could say, you're in violation of our rules, and they could either decertify or punish them in some way. So it's the Players Association that would have the power here.
Okay, so let's move on to the Panarin trade, because I think a lot of people maybe didn't understand where the leverage was coming from. Because when you see a guy like Panarin get dealt, and you expect like a long list of things coming back to the Rangers, and it wasn't that big. But explain to people why, and do you think the Rangers did as well as they could under the circumstances?
I think you can always do better. You know, I think this. A couple of things happened. I mean, I don't know if you saw the story I wrote today, Willie, but it was a really crazy last 48 hours. Like, it was insane. And you know, I think that Panarin wanted the Florida teams to be involved. They couldn't do it. It just wasn't feasible. And I think next he looked at California and Anaheim. I think they were, and he's got a history with the coach of the Ducks, Joel Quenneville. They were together in Chicago. Anaheim couldn't do an extension, and an extension was paramount to Panarin. So that was number one. San Jose was in. I still haven't figured out exactly where it ended there, but obviously they didn't get him. And he focused on L.A. And, you know, what I heard, though, was that L.A. and him were talking about a $45 million contract. And yesterday, or 2 days ago, Tuesday, the Kings decided they weren't doing that. And it kind of fell apart for a few hours. And Panarin is represented by a guy by the name of Paul Theofanis. And I haven't spoken to him directly, but I've heard about, like, he was calling around to try to get interest in his client. And that's his job, right? And, like, he was telling some teams he was going to Carolina, and he was telling other teams that he had a $60 million contract on the table. And, like, it got around. Like, people – and all of a sudden, you know, I got a call on Tuesday night as I was preparing for the Leafs Oilers broadcast saying – you better get ready. Panarin's going to Carolina. And I made a couple calls and people said, that's not true. Like, that's not happening. But he was going around trying to, in a bit of a panic, trying to drum up business for his guy. And it was getting everywhere. Like, I wasn't the only guy that heard that. A few different reporters heard that. And then, you know, I guess Panarin just said, look, I want to go to LA. And they went and they got the 2x11 contract that they got done yesterday. Now, he has a no move clause. He had control. And yesterday he went to the Rangers and said, look, I'm only going to Los Angeles. And in that moment, I think the Rangers had two choices. They could really draw a hard line and they could say, we're not doing that. And some teams have done that before. But I think one of the complicating factors here is that you know, the Rangers have had a couple situations that went really sideways for them in terms of player relations. They had a couple players who really exited in a negative way. Barkley Goodrow, who's in San Jose, was one. Jacob Trouba, who's in Anaheim, is another. And their relationship with Chris Kreider really fractured, too. Although at the end, when they sorted it out last year, Kreider thanked the Rangers for sending him to somewhere he wanted to go. And they traded a defenseman a couple days ago, Carson Soucy, who traded him to the Islanders, and his wife just had a baby. And he thanked the Rangers for trading him to a place where he didn't have to move. And I kind of wonder, Willie, if that was a factor in all this. If the Rangers had taken such a beating for the way they'd handled players on the way out, that they were like, we're going to take a bit of an L for this one, a knee, and say, all right, we're not going to fight him. We're going to send him to where he wants to go. Now, I think the return would have been seen as okay if he hadn't signed the extension. Because he signs the extension, it looks worse. But yes, ultimately, I think the Rangers wanted to do right by the player. And number two, I think they really wanted this noise over with. And, you know, you can take a hard line sometimes, but it doesn't always mean it's going to work out in the end. I think they just said, look, clean break, let's go.
If you can, we got a limited time here, kind of a 1-2 punch here. You had mentioned on the Michael Bunting front that they were close to making a deal. Barry Trotz seemed puzzled by that yesterday. Of course, you deal with this plenty of times, right? You always handled it well when, you know, somebody takes issue with something you've reported. It happens all the time to people in your profession. So maybe you could address that. And also, Ryan O'Reilly, 3 more assists last night. It's unbelievable how well he's playing. I just can't imagine what his stock is right now.
Well, first of all, on the Bunting thing, like, I don't want to pick a fight with Barry Trotz. I heard what I heard, and I stand by it, and I'm not going to nobody's called me to say I was wrong. And usually if I get a call, usually we'll get a call. But you know what? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's semantics about how close it was or wasn't. But, you know, I'm not going to pick a fight with Barry. But, you know, I heard what I heard. And I said what I said. And that's fine. Like, as you said, that's life in the big city. You know, when it comes to the O'Reilly, look, I think people want him bad. I do. I just I think if the offer was right and it would have to be big, I think Trotz and the Predators would go to him. But I just think that right now they're in the race, and I can't see O'Reilly wanting to bail on the team if they're in the race.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, thank you so much for both of your appearances this week. We'll catch up next week.
Well, you know what, guys? I'm going to Italy on Saturday for the Olympics. So we'll have to figure this out. But should be okay, but we'll have to figure it out.
Okay, we will indeed figure it out. We will charge the international coverage to the station, but don't tell our bosses. Right.
But don't listen.
That has come up before on the show. The phone bill when we have somebody on from Europe.
Thank you, Elliot. Safe travels.
All right. Take care, guys. Be well.
615-737-1025. I mean, we could Zoom with him. Zoom works.
Zoom works.
Yeah.
Zoom's a good option always.
Zoom's a good option. I remember those days when you had to wait until 9 p.m. to get your free minutes on your cell phone. 615-737-1025. Speaking of things that are old, one of Derek Mason's former teammates said something at Super Bowl, Media Day, Radio Row, whatever the hell it is, that has caught a lot of people's attention. And we will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.